So, questions? Yeah, so there's two effects of ozone. Ozone in the stratosphere, which blocks ultraviolet radiation, you lose that and you have a cooling effect in the stratosphere. But most of what that is talking about is tropospheric ozone, so lower atmosphere ozone produced by industrial activity and catalyzed as a result of increased methane. And so that's a strong greenhouse gas in the lower atmosphere, as well as being a primary constituent of smog as well. So that's one of the effects that we understand is affecting the climate system. Well, fortunately, climate science isn't Hollywood. And so climate scientists don't work for Hollywood, and we don't produce movies, and we don't try and convince people by that sort of evidence. If you want to make a movie and entertain people, then you might use props. That's what movies... No, let me finish. But what scientists do, for those two examples, is measure reference glaciers, which I'll talk about in another talk, and that shows that over 90% of all reference glaciers are retreating at a rapid rate. So we don't look at one polystyrene glacier and make a conclusion. In terms of sea ice, we don't look at a polar bear floating on an ice floe and say, oh gee, that's disconnected from the ice sheet, the polar bear's going to drown, the Arctic must be melting. What we do is use satellites to measure the extent of Arctic sea ice over time. So if you want to compare the science of climate change with the entertainment of Hollywood, then you will clearly find some disconnect there. So on that basis, you're rejecting the science of climate change. Well, I think that's a good point, though, and I take your point. And so in the last lecture of the series, I want to reflect on the debate and how it's projected to the public in both ways. So in terms of how the skeptics project their viewpoint and how people who are committed to doing something about climate change will project their viewpoint. And there's no doubt that there's manipulation and there's misleading information on both sides. And that's clearly a point I need to cover. It's not really relevant to the science of climate change that I'm talking about today because I wasn't talking about the Al Gore movie. I will talk about it in Lecture 6. But I do take your point that what it has to be based on is the clear science, like I presented today, not some Hollywood version of it.
Just a question. Put up a slide there that shows that the average temperature in the last 5 to 7 years has been pretty well steady. It hasn't increased very much. My question is, given the fact that CO2 is increasing in that period, I suppose it doesn't help when you get people saying, you know, like, the temperatures are increasing in the last 8 years and therefore there's no problem. My question is, how credible is that argument? And secondly, how long would the temperature have to remain steady before it becomes incredible?
The credibility of the argument about whether the Earth's temperature is in stasis is something I dealt with in the last lecture. I don't know whether you were here. In terms of the relationship between greenhouse gases and temperature change over the short term, natural variability is the primary determinant of weather and of climate over a year-to-year basis. So the only effect that increase in greenhouse gases will be is on the long-term forcing effect. And we can calculate that as about 0.2 of a degree per decade. So if you're looking at the fluctuations that we observe on a month-to-month basis, they range over almost a full degree on just over that basis. So trying to pick out a signal like that, which is a strong signal over time, but a very weak signal over a short period of time, like such as 8 years, is not credible. So that relationship that you point out, there is no relationship over that period. There's no expectation for a relationship over that very short period. There is one over the long period, and so you look at the relationship since the 19th century, and indeed you do find a strong relationship. And to your last question about how long would the Earth have to remain cool with the greenhouse gases continue to increase before there's strong doubts about whether that's the cause, it depends a little on ocean cycles. As I've shown, they can affect temperature on a short-term basis. But I would say if we haven't seen any warming in the next 10 to 15 years, then climate scientists would start to wonder what was going on. So in any of these things, because it's a long-term trend superimposed on short-term variability, you can't rule out any particular factor on the basis of those short-term observations, for one way or the other. Actually, first I'll take the question from the gentleman down here because he was interrupted. Go ahead. Would you like to try one of them?
Yeah. May I ask you first, before I try one of them, why you haven't invited someone who represents an actual opinion to be here as well?
Well, I am actually doing a talk like that in October with someone who has an opposite opinion in Adelaide. There's not many in Adelaide. There's no scientist in Adelaide apart from Ian Plimer, who is who I'm talking to in October about it. No, not in this seminar series.
That gives me great difficulty because there are multiple arguments around which I'm unable to adjudicate between, so I have to say to myself, that's something I can't decide, I'll sit on the fence. And that's a logical position to take, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I guess so, but if you look at the majority of scientific evidence and the weight of evidence, and the best way in which we can judge that, which is the evidence in the peer-reviewed literature. This is the literature which has been... We talked about that last week, yes. And that was the first reconstruction of the hockey stick. We've since had multiple proxies derived from completely independent authors in completely independent sources. Well, there's only so many different paleo reconstructions you can have. So the McIntyre and McKittrick argument was on the basis of a principal component analysis of that data and the basis of including or excluding certain components, such as the bristlecone pine data. It's been shown that you can use a different analysis method or use different proxies and you come up with the same answer. Oh, I did. I spent about 5 slides on water vapor.
Would you agree that the most amount of energy which is transported to the point in the atmosphere where it can affect the Earth doesn't come from CO2, but comes from water vapor being transported from water to vapor? Upstairs, it's cooler the other way. It exudes heat, which is back here. Now, 0.04% of the atmosphere is CO2.
For water vapour to be a cause of the recent warming, you would have to have an increase in the water vapour that was independent of the long-lived greenhouse gases. And we understand that water vapour can't remain in the atmosphere without the atmosphere maintaining a certain temperature. So water vapour is vitally important in understanding that warming, but what is causing an increase in the water vapour? It's an increase in the temperature of the atmosphere. You can't otherwise increase the amount of water vapour in the atmosphere. So to claim that scientists would be arguing that water vapour and an increase in it isn't a problem is wrong. What we're saying is that water vapour is a strong feedback, and indeed that amplification causes a large fraction of the amount of warming that we've observed. But in order to get just the water vapour increasing without any causation from other long-lived greenhouse gases, you'd have to have a different source of heating that caused that increase in the water vapour, because it's a feedback effect. It's not like volcanoes are suddenly gushing a lot more water vapour into the atmosphere. I'll have to skip on to some other questions so I give people a fair time. Up there? Yeah, CO2 is called a trace gas because there's very little of it in the atmosphere, but if you look at the total amount of CO2 in the atmosphere, there's a huge amount, in fact, many hundreds of billions of tonnes of CO2. And so if you look at the fate of any one ray of radiation as it moves up through the atmosphere, it in fact collides and is re-radiated by many molecules of CO2 as it moves up through the atmosphere. Some of it eventually escapes out into space, but it takes many collisions and many interactions. And so by increasing the concentration of those, even though there's relatively few of those compared to oxygen and nitrogen, you're increasing the probability that it will collide with a molecule of greenhouse gas. And so just by adding extra bits of greenhouse gas, then over time you're increasing the number of collisions, which means a small fraction of extra amount of heat is being captured and re-radiated back down to the Earth's surface. So there are other components such as water vapour and methane which are also intercepting these photons. So it's misleading to think that about half the photons go up, hit a greenhouse gas and go back down, and the other half go back up and miss everything. In fact, almost all of them impact multiple times as they move back up through the atmosphere. It's just the number of extra collisions they have that makes the difference. So even as a trace amount of gas, it still has many collisions. Behind you. Yeah, it's not an easy one to answer. I guess you're saying, what is the percentage of our knowledge out of truth? It's probably disappointingly small, in fact, because the whole universe is a very complex system. In terms of enough truth to be able to make predictions on a gross scale, which is what we try and do, so we don't, for instance, try and predict the pathway of every molecule or every quanta within that molecule, but so we're missing most of that detail. So if you break it down to that level, very little. But in the gross scheme of the climate system, I'd say that estimate of 70 to 80% understanding would be reasonable. Yeah.
You do explain how
Well, it's as young as any science. It goes back to the Enlightenment period. There's no doubt about that you require contributions from so many disciplines to understand the climate system that all of them continue to mature and have a lot of uncertainties involved. In terms of that question of models, I might prefer to leave that till the next talk when we talk more about models, because I'll cover that question. But that hotspot question, initially the hotspot was difficult to measure, and so any sort of measurement didn't find much of a hotspot. More recent analysis of the data has shown that the hotspot is measurable, but you need to correct the instrumentation to find it. But that continues to be an area of uncertainty, an area of debate. But the key point with the David Evans argument was that the hotspot was the signature of greenhouse warming. In fact, the hotspot is predicted for any form of warming as the air in the lower atmosphere around the equator, which has a lot more moisture than the air around other parts of the atmosphere, as that rises through the atmosphere and releases heat, the extra water vapor in the atmosphere allows it to release heat more slowly, and so it warms further up in the atmosphere. So you should see this tropical hotspot. But that should be the case no matter what the source of warming. The difference between the greenhouse prediction, so this is the signature effect, is that if it was solar radiation, you should get a consistent warming throughout the atmosphere, whereas for the greenhouse effect, because it's trapping extra energy in the lower atmosphere, you should actually get a cooling of the upper atmosphere. And that's the signature, and that's what we observed. Now, we are running quite a bit over time. It's gone to 7:15, so I'll have to close the proceedings today. But I'm glad to see there are many active hands up, so I'd invite you to go to the website and ask the questions, and we'll do our best to answer your questions. And, of course, I'll continue to build on these topics in the last four lectures of the series, some of which I may start to answer your questions that I haven't been able to answer tonight. So thank you.